We'll go to item number 25. Mr. Briggs?
Yes. I suggest we move 25 for a little continuity with the last item, since they're sort of a bookend pair. And for that purpose, Amanda Byrne of our staff has prepared the item and will be making the staff presentation.
Thank you. As Roger said, my name is Amanda Byrne. I am overseeing the PG&I Environmental Project Fund, and today I'm going to be asking your approval for four projects to utilize this funding. So the Regional Board approved the funds at the July 11th, 2003 meeting. And the criteria that were approved were based on two plans, the Monterey Bay Sanctuary's plan for agricultural lands and the Regional Water Board's toxic hotspot plan. Of the $5 million in settlement funds, $2.85 million were allocated for projects which implement water quality practices and improve water quality, and $950,000 were allocated for water quality monitoring associated both with the projects that are implemented with this fund and with other projects that are implemented within the Lower Salinas and Elkhorn Slough watersheds. Progress to date: in May, we hired a coordinator to help run the program, that is the Community Foundation for Monterey Bay. And they have helped staff greatly, developed a grant timeline and a grant process, developed a lot of written materials, things like the application form, request for proposals, announcements. I'd like to thank Jeff Bryant. He's been very patient with me. And another aspect of this has been the input from the Technical Advisory Committee. And in addition to the fact that the Technical Advisory Committee has provided a lot of feedback on the grant process, they've also served as a technical forum to discuss how to improve water quality in our farming watersheds. And particularly in the Central Coast, agriculture is special here. Land is almost, it's under production almost 10 months of the year. There's up to four crop rotations per year. And what this means is that crop and chemical application type are changing almost constantly throughout the year. And the implications for that are that projects that are implemented to improve water quality need a lot of evaluation and oversight in order to ensure that they're meeting the needs of the project design. And a key part of that is having staff available who are able to go out and provide those evaluations and make changes as necessary. So I'm going to talk to you now about the our first funding cycle. Staff is recommending four projects. Two of them are coming out of the $2.85 million project fund. They are the University of California Cooperative Extension Farm Water Quality classes, and the Resource Conservation District will provide technical assistance. There are two projects for the monitoring fund. They are watershed level monitoring, and UC Cooperative Extension is also proposing to do some cover crop trials. And I wanted to point out that the first two projects are really providing more individual assistance. It's a lot of one-on-one with growers. And the last two projects are really providing information that have region-wide implications. So I provided to you in the supplemental sheet detailed task and line item budgets. So I'm only going to briefly go over the proposals here. The first that I'll talk about is the University of California Cooperative Extension, the farm water quality classes. We've talked about those several times in board meetings. This is led by Mary Bianchi, and they propose to provide a minimum of six courses, which will provide growers with 15 hours of water quality education. It will help growers complete water quality farm plans. The classes will be offered in both English and Spanish. The total project cost is $91,000, and the amount that they are requesting from the fund is $71,377, and staff is recommending that we fund the requested amount. The second project that we recommend for funding underneath the project funds is the Monterey County Resource Conservation District, providing technical assistance, and this is under the direction of Emily Hansen. And they propose to offer one-on-one technical assistance to the growers who have had the 15 hours of water quality education. This will allow them to evaluate all aspects of land, water, and production and to choose practices that best address water quality. The practices that they choose to will depend upon the evaluations. There are literally 100 practices that they could choose from. I've just listed some examples up here. Grassing farm roads to control erosion. You could change from vertical to horizontal row alignment, which also reduces erosion. They could work on establishing seasonal nutrient budgets. The total project cost is $423,600, and the amount that they are requesting from this fund is $282,290, and staff is recommending that we fund that amount. So the next two projects are coming from the monitoring fund. And with this particular project, the first thing I'd like to explain, it's the Grower Shipper Foundation. This is the portion that's going to help support the monitoring that we discussed in the previous item. The reason that the money is underneath the Grower Shipper Foundation is that the Monterey County Foundation for Monterey Bay requires that they have their tax-exempt status completed both federally and state, and that takes time, and that wasn't going to be completed before the money was to be given out, and so they chose the Grower Shipper Foundation in order for them to be able to receive funds. The second thing that I wanted to point out is on the line item budget, which is attachment 3 of the supplemental sheet. And there was some discussion earlier about cost match. And currently, the cost match that's listed on the line item budget is coming from time and activities associated with the Guadalupe Fund. What they are required to do, both the consent decree and the regional board criteria have just said that there needs to be a 25% cost match. There's flexibility in what they could do to meet that cost match. They could use the grower dues that they're collecting to do that. They could use time and effort in order to pull the activities together. So I guess I would say we could stay with what they have currently, but I'll note that those funds are coming from Guadalupe. The amount, the sampling itself includes a large variety of water quality sampling parameters, toxicity, nutrients flow, benthic invertebrate assessment at 15 sites within the Lower Salinas and Elkhorn Slough. It includes follow-up monitoring at sites where toxicity is found. And sampling will continue after the term of the grant, which is an important consideration when you're setting up trend monitoring. So we propose $250,000 from this fund, and the 25% cost match would be $62,500. The final project that we are recommending underneath the monitoring funds is the University of California Cooperative Extension cover crop trials. Current cover crop practices don't fit within the production schedules of most of the growers within the Salinas Valley. And so what this project proposes to do is to try several different cover crop scenarios. Staff felt like the results would be applicable throughout the Central Coast region in our agriculture here. Cover crops can reduce stormwater runoff, and that's something that the growers say is very difficult for them to try and contain. And also a number of our pollutants of concern, most of the loading occurs during storm events. So we felt that this would be a good practice to evaluate the effectiveness of. The total project cost is $132,357, and they are requesting $87,607, and we recommend their requested amount. And a final point that I'd like to make is that good use of the PG&E funds is more than just choosing good projects which fit the criteria. There's also an element of ensuring that all of these projects connect. And in that way, each grantee gets the benefit of the work that's done by the other grantees. And so what I've done here is I've put the four proposals that we'd like to recommend up here. And an example would be the folks from the RCD that are providing the technical assistance. They're actually going to be presenting at Mary's farm water quality classes. And this provides both the growers and the class an advantage because they hear the most up-to-date technical assistance possibilities. And it's also good for the RCDs because they have an audience of people that they can address that to. And the same works with the cover crop trials. Once the cover crop trials have taken place, Cooperative Extension can come in, present their results to growers, and try and expand their efforts. And again, the growers get the advantage of hearing the information. And then the watershed level trend monitoring, actually I probably should have had arrows going to all of these, because that really lets us know whether or not what's happening in the watershed is having an effect on water quality. So that's a really key piece. So staff seeks board approval to direct funds towards these four projects, and I'll take any questions if you have them now.
Dr. Press.
This is just to be clear, you also attached attachment 5 projects from the monitoring fund. Do I understand correctly that either because of the dollar amounts or because it's a different fund, you're not coming to the board with these, right? These are projects that are being funded from the monitoring fund, but you're not asking for board approval on these?
No. The ones that I'm asking board approval for are the four that I've mentioned here today.
And that's because these monitoring fund proposals are smaller or why?
We felt that they were the best proposals out of the group of proposals that we had. The other thing I want to make clear is that even though there's we have $2.85 million for projects and $950,000 available for monitoring, those funds aren't all out and available. They've been invested into bonds. So at the moment, there's only $300,000 available of that $950,000 to fund projects. So we were limited in terms. We had to choose projects that fit within that.
Okay. I just was trying to get a sense of why you're coming to the board with some and not others.
Well, is attachment 5 a list of all the proposals you received and you're recommending these four?
Yes.
Okay.
So that's what's going on.
Yes.
So these are not going to be funded?
No.
Yeah, the last column in attachment 5 says either recommend or deny, or I guess one of them says defer to next year.
Uh-huh, okay. All right, now I get it. Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Three of these four projects I really kind of understand of what they're doing and what the deliverable is and how we look at it and see whether it's successful or not. The RCD one, I don't...
Okay.
I mean, one goes out in the field, talks to someone, and okay, they talk to him, and did that have any effect? Was it worthwhile? Was that money well spent? Should we do it again? Or how do we measure what any success is there other than they talk to a bunch of folks?
Well, if the way that if you look at the task budget, they do have things in there like we'll work with a minimum of a certain number of growers. I think this was part of why I included attachment 3 was to try and address that question of what happens when you have the proposal is primarily going out and working with people. It's not just a matter of going out and talking with them. A lot of what they do is go out, look at their crop production, look at their irrigation schedules, look at erosion that might be on the land. The next step is to sit down and figure out the staff member will come up with a list of recommendations, and then the next step is, well, what can the grower do? What can't the grower do? If the staff recommends horizontal row alignment, the grower might say, well, I can't really do that because my harvesting equipment won't fit between those rows. So then they go on to the next option. And once they've completed that, they actually draft up a more specific plan So some of that could contain design plans, and a lot of it depends on the project that they're choosing.
So will we get any feedback as to what has been accomplished versus, you know, simply these contacts were made?
Yeah. So what will happen is currently I have other grants that have projects like this. And usually what happens is I receive a report from them, and that report describes to me, you know, farmer number 127 spent X amount of hours working on plans, installed sediment detention basin at a cost of X. So that's how they report things to us.
And is that how you're going to judge success?
For the RCD?
Yeah. In other words, whether this is worthwhile to do again.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah, the reason is the board, I think the RCD has made assertions in the past when funding has been up that its programs have resulted in X amount of sediment being prevented from entering waterways and so on. And I think the board, at least speaking for myself, was didn't find the methodologies that they had used, or at least their presentations, to be persuasive. They were assertions, basically. And so I would like to see some pretty careful and persuasive evaluative criteria used to judge the success of this kind of work. Otherwise, it does sound like a lot of talk and maybe some action. So for my to be comfortable with this, I would like to see some pretty hard data on action results from this kind of
What has been made different as a result of this funding?
Right. So
and if nothing's been made different other than talking, then it may not be worth our while.
So it's a lot of money.
Yeah. It's one of the largest ones we looked at, and to spend it wisely, I think we need to get a lot of benefit back.
So did the progress report that I described to you, where they listed out farmer X received this amount of hours of outreach, resulted in this plan, resulted in this implementation, is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, as long as the implementation piece is there.
Mm-hmm.
Again, planning is important, but you want to take it all the way down to implementation.
You need to be a little careful about that. I mean, simply going and talking to Farmer Jones, and Farmer Jones happens to have already had his idea to do X, and you claim credit for X. I mean, these need to be things that Farmer Jones was not going to otherwise do. So it needs to be carefully drafted so that it's clear that these are effects of that conversation, that some new concept was brought up and some new idea was proposed, and that was accepted, and so this new thing was done that otherwise would not have happened. And to that extent, I think that would document, you know, benefit.
I do have technical staff from the RCD here. Would it be helpful for you to have him come up and describe what he does?
I think that would be helpful. Yes.
That would? Brian?
Good day. I'm Brian Largay. I am a hydrologist on staff with the Resource Conservation District of Monterey County. I'd be happy to address some of your concerns. There are a great variety of methods to improve water quality of the water leaving farms. Some of those methods, the three basic categories of those methods are cultural practices, where there are reduced inputs of fertilizer, different timing of fertilizer, different inputs of pesticides, that sort of thing. There are structural measures, such as stormwater pipes, sediment basins, grade control structures, and there are vegetative practices, such as filter strips, treatment of wetlands, those sorts of things. All of those measures can have significant adverse impacts on production if implemented incorrectly. For example, row arrangement sounds pretty straightforward, to lay furrows across the slope. The the slope we shoot for in strawberries, for example, is a 2% slope. Much flatter than that, and chances are there will be ponding in the furrows, water will pour from furrow to furrow, wash out the crop, cause a big gully in the field. Bad for water quality, bad for production. To get a 2% slope requires very detailed, precise measurements with surveying type instruments, and to assist a farmer with a 20-acre field could take two staff people all day to lay out the row arrangement of that field. The benefits of that are substantial. We've measured and the sediment yield from farms with different slope furrows, and we found that 2% furrows generate a third to a quarter of the sediment as 6-7% furrows. And many of the farmers in our area farm slopes that are 20%. And luckily, none of the ones that, by the time we were doing the monitoring, no one was running them straight down the hill anymore, the folks who would let us on their farms to monitor. But the potential for sediment loss is enormous from just that one practice alone, if not implemented carefully. Another example of a practice is sediment basins. A sediment basin seems straightforward. If constructed poorly, berms can fail, causing a massive release of water, which could be a threat to public health, the release of all the detained sediment. The time it takes me to design a sediment basin that meets the standards and specifications and approval of engineers from the Natural Resources Conservation Service, who supervise all of our technical work. It takes me 100 hours, surveying, design, review, calculations. That's obviously a large investment of staff time. In our estimation, the resultant savings in terms of sediment yield amortized over the length of the lifetime of the project typically is in the neighborhood of $5 to $10 per ton of sediment kept out of the streams. That number is based on an estimate. Those estimates are derived from standard calculations, standard mathematical models, such as the Unified Soil Loss Equation, which have been in standard practice for the estimations of sediment yield for decades, where they were developed on standard fields in Iowa. There's extrapolation bringing that to California. To replace those models with field data is enormously time-consuming. I believe the board has funded extensive projects done by researchers, university researchers in the region, to try to refine those estimates. Where that data is available, we use those estimates to supplement our estimations of soil savings. But we have good reason to believe that the results of our efforts are significant and can be documented in a way that is robust. And we're happy to provide all of that documentation to you.
Were you going to do that anyway as part of this?
That is a standard procedure which we have followed for several years, for 7 years.
Because I think that's what we're interested in, is just being able to gauge success of the expenditure of these funds.
We will be more than happy to provide that to you. I am on the technical end of things, and unfortunately I'm not entirely sure what information you've received in the past, written or verbal, that led to your concern about the veracity of our statements about sediment savings. I will certainly pass on to the people who do the reporting and ensure that I provide them with the information needed to address those issues.
Well, I, for one, I share the skepticism about the sediment numbers. I'd like to see them still. I think something that's less controversial is, I mean, like you're talking about the particular practices and particular projects that have been done that otherwise would not have been done. I mean, that's easily verifiable. So, yeah, that's a better way to gauge success, I would think.
We do track treated acres with different practices, for example, and that's certainly something that we can provide you with.
Okay, any other board comments or questions? Gary?
No, on the classes?
Yes.
Six classes?
A minimum. They'll teach a minimum.
And how many?
Thank you.
People are we talking about here?
I believe they had a minimum of coverage for 180 people would be the minimum number of participants.
Okay.
Over those six classes.
Right. Okay. Thanks.
And how long are we going to need to fund classes? I mean, what does the future hold? Is this something the board will have to do for the next 3, 4, 5 years, or is it a permanent?
Probably 2 or 3 years. They do have funding from other sources aside from us.
It'll take up the slack once the bulk of all the farms have been certified. Okay. All right. Well, what shall we do? Go ahead and... Do we have any cards? Mr. Briggs?
There were repeats from the last item, but I don't think so.
Does anybody in the audience wish to address the board on this matter? If you do, would you please come up here? Okay.
Good almost afternoon. My name is Mary Bianchi. I work for the University of California Cooperative Extension, and I just wanted to add a comment in terms of the funding of the short courses. Currently, the short course is actually being funded by agriculture through their registration fees. We are looking at some Coastal Conservancy funding, Guadalupe funds, and these PG&E SEP funds. We have no future way of funding our staff time, which is a portion of what you're looking at here. So were we not to receive regional board funding through some of these settlement funds or other grant funds, we would have to go back to asking agriculture to fund our staff time through their registration. And that's about $100 for each participant in the class. We cap the registration at the class at 50 because of the quality of the education. That's very difficult to get a good quality education when you have more than 50 people in the class. But agriculture actually at this time is funding the courses through their registration fees. It is onerous for some of the producers. So we really look to the support of the board in continuing to help offset a portion of the cost of the funding for the participants. Thank you.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Ms. Bianchi, do the participants pay any sort of fee?
Currently, the course charges are $175 per participant. About $100 of that staff is for our staff time. The remainder is for the cost of the materials, room charges, and travel for speakers if we have to have speakers come in, and snack, to be perfectly honest. For those courses that will be funded either through Guadalupe funds or PG&E funds, the cost of the course will probably be somewhere between $50 and $75, again, to cover the cost of the materials and any other room charges or back to snack again. So the funding that we're asking from you in various ways is to cover the staff time for the University of California person.
Thanks.
Thank you. Okay.
Mr. Chair, I move with staff's recommendation.
I'll second it.
Any further board discussion? All right, seeing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries unanimously. We are going to slip backward on the agenda to item number 17.
Thank you, Mr.